They said I only slept for half an hour, but it felt much longer. When I woke up, I crawled into the back of the fetch, where it was darker, and Saman showed me a spiele on his jija. Saman was the only member of the crew who didn't make remarks or ask questions about my injuries and emotional state. This might make it sound like he was insensitive. Frankly, though, I could have done with a lot less sensitivity by that point in the day.
There is not a lot of explanatory content connected to this data because of the way in which it was obtained, he warned as he was queuing it up.
The image quality was, as usual, terrible. It took me a minute even to be sure that it had been shot in color. Everything was either solid black, space and shadows, or blinding white, anything with sun shining on it. As I slowly came to realize, it had been made by aiming a handheld spielecaptor out a dirty window.
Outgassing,
Saman said, which meant little to me. He went on to explain that the materials used to build the space capsule had, in the vacuum of space, let go of vaporous byproducts that had congealed on the spacecraft windows.
Huh, you'd think they would have solved that problem, I said.
They built it in a rush, he answered.
A perfect circle, centered in a perfect equilateral triangle, dominated the view.
It's the back end of the alien ship, Saman explained, the pusher plate on the rear. They always kept it oriented toward the capsule. Think about it.
After a few moments, I tried. The cousins, couldn't be sure that our space capsule wasn't carrying a nuclear warhead, so they kept the nuke-proof part of their ship aimed towards it.
That's part of it, Saman said,
and gave me a wicked grin, egging me on. They could spit one of their own nukes out the back of that thing and blow up the space capsule anytime they felt like it.
You got it. Also, we can't get a good look at their ship from this angle. No way to gather military intelligence.
Where's the hole that the nukes come out of? I asked.
Don't bother looking. You can't see it. It's tiny compared to the scale of the plate. It's closed by a shutter when it's not in use. You won't be able to see it until it opens.
It's going to open?
Maybe it's better if we just watch the spiele.
Saman reached in and turned up the volume a bit. The soundtrack was a roar of ambient noise. Whooshes, hums, buzzes, and drones at many different pitches. There was the occasional human word or phrase shouted over the roar, but people spoke rarely, and when they did, it tended to be in terse military jargon.
Bogey, someone said. 2 o'clock.
The image veered and zoomed, the big triangle expanding until its edge had become a straight division separating white from black. In the black part, a gray blob was discernible, just a mess of pixels a few shades brighter than black. But it got brighter and bigger.
Incoming,
someone confirmed. The murk of noise took on new overtones. People were conversing. I thought I heard the cadences of an orth sentence.
Prepare for egress,
someone commanded, in a voice that meant business. For the first time, the spielecaptor turned away from the window and refocused to show the interior of the space capsule. This view was shockingly crisp, clear, and colorful after the endless dreary shot of the pusher plate. Several people were floating around in a confined space. Some were strapped into chairs before consoles. Some were gripping handles, the better to keep their faces pressed against windows. One of these was definitely Jezri. In the middle of the capsule was the big man with the hairdo. He didn't look good. Weightlessness had made his hair go funny. His face was swollen and greenish. I could tell he was nauseated. He looked tired and uncaring, maybe from anti-nausea drugs. His impressive clothes were gone, revealing all sorts of things about his physique that no one except for his doctor really needed to know. A couple of people were striving to fit him into an outlandish garment consisting of a network of tubes and a matrix of stretchy fabric. It seemed that this project had been going on for a while, but just now they threw it into high gear, and one of the others pushed himself away from a window and flew over to help jerk the thing on. The Warden of Heaven, I didn't know for a fact that this was he, but it seemed unmistakable, woke up enough to become indignant. He glared at the camera and lifted a finger. One of his aides drifted into position to block the view and said,
Please give his serenity some
Some serenity? Cracked Jessery off-camera.
Testy words were exchanged. The authoritative voice commanded them to shut up. The argument was replaced by technical conversation pertaining to the suit that they were building around the Warden of Heaven's body. One of the console watchers called out updates on the approach of the bogey.
Jessery said, You're about to become the first person ever to converse with aliens. What is your plan?
The Warden of Heaven made some brief and indistinct response. He was farther from the microphone, he wasn't feeling well, and he had seen enough of Jessery by this point to know that the conversation wasn't going to end well. The spelecaptor swung round to point at the warden again. They had finished putting the tube garment around his body and were building a spacesuit over that, one limb at a time. Off camera, Jessery answered,
How do you know that the geometers are even going to recognize that concept?
Another muffled, noncommittal response from the warden, who, to be fair, couldn't talk well because they were mounting a headset on him.
Geometers? I asked.
That's what people at the Convox have been calling the aliens, apparently, Saman said.
I would try to go in there with a mental checklist of basic observations I wanted to achieve, Jessery went on. For example, do they take any precautions against infection? It would be quite significant if they were afraid of our germs, or if they weren't.